With us now is Mike Spaulding, who is the chief pilot of the Military Aviation Museum in Virginia Beach. And Mike, welcome to the program. Welcome to Oshkosh.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to be here again, and very happy to be here in one of the Military Aviation Museum's airplanes.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit about your background in aviation. How'd you get your start?
My aviation life started when I was basically a kid. Dad take me out to the airport and hang out, watch airplanes, and learn to fly in the Civil Air Patrol when I was 16. And pretty much went from there, just started flying, did a lot of flying in the Civil Air Patrol, building hours, and then became a flight instructor, and then basically went on into flying corporate airplanes, and that's what I do professionally. And kind of sort of stumbled into warbirds, just watching Stearman's crop dust when we used to go down to Carolina with my grandmother. And that's where I kind of fell in love with the Stearman. I still have a soft spot for that airplane.
And how did you get into the warbirds? Did you start in something like a Stearman to get you to kind of build up your tailwheel time?
I did in the Stearman, and built some tailwheel time in Cubs and L-19s, things like that. And then I've owned some of my own airplanes, Cessna 195s and T-6s, eventually to start trying to get in more into warbirds. And got into Commemorative Air Force and started flying the Lockheed Lodestar and a Grumman Tracker that they had that back then, and until Jerry started building his collection, you know, near me. So
good. How many of the airplanes in the collection are airworthy right now, or that you actually fly on a regular basis?
Probably fly on a regular basis. Most all of them are capable of flying.
Right.
We don't fly them all, but probably 25, you know, that we fly, can pull out and fly almost any day. Yeah.
Good. And you're qualified in all of them?
Most all of them. Not all of them, but most of them. Some of them just hadn't gotten to yet.
Okay. Well, that's good. There's always another airplane in
that's
the hangar
right.
to fly, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And you flew up in the Corsair?
I came up in the Corsair, yeah. You know, from Virginia Beach.
Nonstop, or did you have to make
a stop?
No, stopped
twice. We had some weather also to deal with and go around. Took a little detour south, you know, to come back up the west side.
Right. But how about how long did it take? Flight time.
Flight time. It took a little over 5 hours.
Okay.
Flight time.
That's a nice cross country.
Yeah, it is. It was nice to go fast and something and get here.
Right. What's it like to stop at a fuel stop somewhere along the line with something like a Corsair?
What I didn't hear the question.
Oh, what's it like when you land at a fuel stop?
It's an attention getter. Yeah, you have to answer a lot of questions just like here the whole time, which is great. And yeah, it's good advertisement for the airplane that they still fly, and for the museum, and people just curious and talk about how they have never seen one fly or never seen one at all or hadn't seen them in years, and it's always interesting in the people you meet when you stop.
Yeah. And you know, we are a little. I don't want to say jaded because that's not the right word, but we who come to Oshkosh get to see these airplanes every year, and you almost take it for granted.
Yeah.
It is not something that the general public sees a lot of. So I'm sure when you show up at an airport somewhere,
well,
people
oddly
are wondering
enough,
what that is.
Yeah, and some people see them fly in or hear them, and it's like, oh, that's a Corsair or that's a Grumman Tracker or something like that, and they'll come out to the airport just to see it, and because they see it fly over.
We're talking with Mike Spaulding, who's the chief pilot of the Military Aviation Museum in Virginia Beach, Virginia, out here with right now three airplanes, the P-40, the Sky Raider, and the Corsair, and we're hoping for the fourth,
yes.
Which would be the de Havilland Mosquito, which we wanted to talk about today.
Yeah.
If you could just kind of fill in, for those who don't know, a little bit of the history of the Mosquito itself.
Certainly filled in a lot of the holes, but it was found as a derelict airplane, pretty much, you know, termite eaten, by in Canada, and was sent off to AFSPEX in New Zealand. It was quite a project. No one had done it before, and it was an amazing undertaking to get that airplane going. It took a lot longer than they planned, and I think it took a lot more money than they planned, but it finally got here, and it's an amazing piece of history that to bring back, and it's quite a privilege to get to fly it.
Well, and when you mentioned termites, the structure of the airplane,
it's all wood.
Contains
a lot
of wood.
It's all wood except for the obvious metal parts, the engines and the and engine mounts and landing gear, things like that. But all the fuselage and the wings, everything is wood.
It was a very speedy aircraft in World War II.
Yeah.
Filled a variety of roles, twin engine with the Merlin engines, and it makes such a pretty sound when it flies.
It does, like two Spitfires or two Mustangs flying side by side or something, but it's great. It doesn't like to go slow. It's a very, ours is a fighter-bomber version. I always like to say it more like a bomber below 200 miles an hour. It's kind of sluggish, but it's really happy above 200 miles an hour going fast, and it's more fighter-like. That's where it really likes it.
And it's a single pilot aircraft.
It is a single pilot.
So in the bomber configuration, then you would have had just a crew of two. You would have had the pilot and the bombardier.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Or whatever that mission for that airplane was. But ours was a bombardier.
Right. Yeah. All right. Talk through the starting procedure and what that's like, because you're sitting relatively high up. You're in a tail dragger.
You have really good visibility in that airplane. You're kind of above everything. Starting it's actually a pretty simple Merlin to start. It's not like some of the others where you got to prime it and hold it just amount of time. It does have a prime button, and it has a lever you push in on the back, which is the mixture. Those stay in, and after you prime it a few seconds, start cranking to have the mags on, and it fires up, and it just runs. You don't have to hold your tongue just right or anything. It's
not at all temperamental.
Pardon?
It's not temperamental at all.
No.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep.
And so we did mention that you're sitting high up, you've got some good visibility. So unlike many tail draggers, your visibility on the ground, the handling must be relatively easy.
They lost a lot of them on takeoff and landings. And you got to remember back then, too, they were all young kids, early 20s. And maybe if they were lucky, had 200 hours of flying time. So it's somewhat to be expected no matter what they were flying back then. But these were particularly difficult because they would say they would swing, which is when the tail would swing around, and they would run them off the runway. And they lost a lot of them that way. They're also very particular because they have a high single-engine speed. If you lose an engine, particularly on takeoff, you've got to get to 190 miles an hour at those weights that they were flying them back then, which around 20,000 pounds. And they didn't work too well. It wouldn't fly on one engine until you got up to there. You had to pull the good engine back to try to keep it going. And a lot of times it happens so fast, and usually you have to switch hands to put the gear up. You have to hold the stick with your left, so your hands are off the throttles, so it's a bad time to lose an engine. That's typically when you would, is at high power on takeoff. So
the cockpit layout, you just mentioned having to move one hand to lift the gear or drop the gear. Are there any other typical, maybe British kind of quirks that are in the airplane?
That is a British quirk. On Spitfires that way, you have to change hands to put the gear up and down, and that's not typical on most American airplanes. But the British also liked air. They used air for the brakes, and which the Mosquito has, the Spitfire has, the Hurricane has. It works well, and it's kind of interesting at first if you have never used it before, because you do it with your hands and your feet, and it's a coordinated effort, but it actually is fairly natural when you actually do it. It doesn't look like it would be, but it is. Sound of freedom.
There you go. Ford Trimotor flying by. You don't have a Trimotor in the collection yet, do you?
Well, yes. We have a JU-52.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Not a Ford Trimotor.
Okay. Have you flown that?
I have.
Yes. Oh, okay. So you're pretty familiar with the Ford Trimotor as well in its operating characteristics.
Yeah, I've not flown a Ford Trimotor, just a JU-52.
I understand they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... With the you mentioned the brake system. Explain to those who don't quite know what that is how it works.
How the air brakes work.
Yeah.
You usually have a hand lever on your stick or your yoke, depending on the airplane, and you just move your feet. You don't have brake pedals on your feet. You move them left and right, and the more you pull the handle for the brakes, the more air you get, and the more you move your feet left or right, the more of that air goes to one side or the other. If they're centered, you're stopping like normal, just like both brakes are on. But if you move the pedals, it acts almost like a rudder on the ground when you're taxiing. So you have more or less brake power with your hand, and you just where you're directing that air to with your feet.
Excellent. Any final thoughts on flying the Mosquito?
No, it's very enjoyable to fly. It's not like anything else. It like I said, it likes to go fast. You never have to worry about being high, you know, on final or anything, because it will come down. You pull it back, it will come down. Easy to get behind the power curve if you get slow, and it takes a lot of power to get back out of that if you get slow on final. So you just try to keep your speed up, knowing that you can easily slow down and get down. So.
Good. Yeah. And we hope that the mechanical issue with the airplane gets solved and we can still see it here this weekend at Oshkosh. So
we
good
hope
luck with
to
that.
Have it here later in the week. It's looking like I think they're gaining on the issue, and I think they have a plan, and it looks like we should be able to hopefully get it here at the end of the week.
Sounds good. Mike Spaulding, who's the chief pilot for the Military Aviation Museum in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Go out and visit the facility. It's a wonderful place and a great setting, and a grass runway, tree-lined runway with all the hangars and everything out there. It's a very idyllic setting for watching airplanes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. Yeah.
And you can go to the beach at the ocean, too,
on your time off.
Thanks again, Mike. That will wrap up today's edition of From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and this is EIA Radio.